Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we're back. Okay. And here you go. This is a good article. Ready? No matter how much you hate the media, it's not enough.
Uh-oh.
And this is an article by Bob Unruh. At a time and an age when legacy media corporations are uniformly pro-liberal, pro-abortion, pro-LGBT, pro-Democrat, it gets worse. By this time, Americans are noticing. Well, yeah, I would hope, you know, right? As a result of a new Rasmussen polling confirming that plurality of voters, 44% agree with the idea that it's not possible to hate the media enough. It is the Washington Examiner that was given the poll results. It goes on. It explained that 49% believe the new bias is getting worse, while by a margin of 44% to 29%, likely voters agree with the statement, no matter how much you hate the media, it's not enough. Younger voters, older people, Hispanics, Republicans, Independents, and even Democrats cited pro-Democratic bias in agreeing that they just can't hate the media enough, the Examiner reported. Actually, the report confirmed bias in the media has been around forever, and political bias has exploded since President Donald Trump hit the presidential stage. Recent presidents have tried to fight it, but little luck. Former President Barack Obama, for example, tried to skip over the media and use social media as direct outreach to voters. Trump's team, which often criticizes the legacy liberal media, has moved to add center-right outlets to the White House press pool for balance. Even so, consumers still believe by large numbers that the media still favors Democrats. Even Democrats, by a 43 to 24 margin, agreed the media organizations favor their party over Republicans.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. You had an article.
Yeah. If the U.S. Department of Education suddenly went away, what would change for local families and communities? The answer to that from this article is not much. For starters, the Department of Education doesn't educate anyone. It's a middleman. Americans send their taxes to Washington, D.C. The bureaucracy takes the big chunk of it to pay staff and overhead, and the rest is sent to the states and local communities with a bunch of red tape. Reducing this bureaucracy should save money, which could mean schools could actually receive more funding. Furthermore, there's no evidence that the federal involvement has improved education. Since the department was created in 1980, federal per pupil spending has skyrocketed. But results on the National Assessment of Education Progress, known as the National Report Card, has been largely stagnant. Yet a recent Fast Company article declared ending the Department of Education would be bad for Title I schools, with a special emphasis on greater Johnstown public schools, who would make to mark this claim. No, not surprisingly, it's largely people who benefit from the current system, including the head of the local state schools union, the director of law firms that lead efforts to increase school taxes, and the director of the policy of centers that has historically receives substantial funds from unions. That's good enough on that article.
You know what I would have, do you remember back in the 60s when that fellow called Nikita Khrushchev, when he pulled off his shoe, he beat the top of the podium, and he said, "We will bury you from within. We will use your youth."
Yeah.
He said, "We will give them dose after dose after dose of socialism until you awaken to find out you're now communist." Now, you see, if I'd have been a politician, I would have played that every day. And I would have said, first of all, at that time, we didn't have a Department of Education, and we
right.
didn't need one, okay? So I would have said, look, here's what they've told you what they're going to do, you know, and they're doing it. They're look at the publishing companies, look at the books. The teachers' union are going pro-communist. They're all going
yeah.
communist.
Yeah.
And so this is why, you know, we started, you know, working on the homeschoolers. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's just a, you remember that Madeline Murray O'Hare was a communist to the bone.
Yeah. They tried to outlaw homeschooling so many times. They were fighting it in Ohio even years ago.
Yeah, but we didn't care. We fought them.
Right? Yeah, I understand that. But that's really the only thing. And what this article is pointing out is, what do we have the Department of Education for? Absolutely nothing. All it's doing is costing money. If all the Trump's absolutely right with this getting rid of the Department of Education. It would do nothing but give the states and the local schools more money.
Absolutely. You know, all you have to do is look at their record, right? You see, if you were to hire a tutor to come and teach your children, and your children continuously became dumber and dumber, well, you would say, that's a waste of my money, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening. The teachers' unions, they've admitted, they come right out and said, look, our concern is not about the students. Our concern is about the teachers. It's a union, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest communist collective in the country at that time was the NEA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No education allowed. Okay? it's indoctrination.
Yeah.
I mean, and so all of these years, for 50 years, we've been sir, behind this mic, telling you folks, if you love your kids, get them out of the public schools. If you love them, get them out of there, okay? Finally, you know, I'd like to see that Department of Education shut down. As far as the you know, the public school system goes, parents, I mean, you should have the right to pull your child out if it goes bad. Because, see, they'll learn. One of the things that school districts need is students, right? I mean,
that's right.
If you have a school and you don't have any students, then that means you're Democrats, because that's the kind of things they do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. To have a school without any students, right? And so it's just as bad as having students without a school, huh?
Yeah. You brought up an excellent point, too, about the publishing. You know, the books that they not only get to the students and everything, but they get to the publishers, and they're publishing books for these schools that have to buy these books. And they're teaching communism, socialism, and everything else in these books.
Well, this is why you have the right to, as a taxpayer, my tax dollars should go through the school that I choose, school of choice, okay? And so my tax dollars should go to Christian schools, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Christian schools don't usually get any federal funds, okay?
That's right.
But they should get federal funds, right? I mean, because why should my tax dollars go to paying for children that are being indoctrinated to become my enemy? That doesn't make sense, does it?
Mm-mm.
And that's exactly what happens.
This has been going on in the textbooks for a long, long time. When my children were in college in Florida, we went to the school and we had one of their books pulled out because it was going against the family, and this was supposed to be a Christian college.
Well, state tries to make Christian camp coerce kids into anti-Christ faith. Twice already, officials in the state of Colorado have gone to the Supreme Court in their misplaced campaign to control the thoughts, the beliefs, and the religious expressions of individuals in the state. Twice they've lost, getting scolded for exhibiting hostility towards Christianity. And the third case is yet pending before the high court. Colorado taxpayers already have been stung for millions of dollars in the failed ideology imposed on them by leftist leaders. A Democrat governor, Democrat majorities in the State House and Senate, and an all-Democrat state Supreme Court that is at one point widely tried and failed to grab control of the entire 2024 presidential election by barring President Donald Trump from the ballot. But that's not enough damage, those state officials have decided. It is the Colorado Department of Early Childhood that now has changed policies so that a longtime Christian youth camp is being ordered to promote the anti-Christian mindset of transgenderism.
Wow.
In direct violation to its religious beliefs and constitutionally protected religious rights, the government has no place telling religious summer campers that it's lights out for upholding their religious beliefs about human sexuality, said the ADF lawyer Andrea Dill, a camp IDR, Camp ID Raha J exists to present the truth of the gospel to children who are building character and lifelong memories. But the Colorado government is putting its dangerous agenda that is being popularity across the globe ahead of its kids. We are urging the court to allow ID Raha G. That's one heck of a name, right? That's the name of the camp, right?
Yes.
To operate as it has for over 75 years as a Christian summer camp that accepts all campers without fear of being punished for its beliefs. The ADF announcement confirmed it has filed a lawsuit in federal court in Colorado on behalf of the camp, which takes its names from the hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus. So that's where it comes from.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I'd Rather Have Jesus already. I thought that was kind of a strange name, right? Okay. Mm. The state policy change would, in fact, force all licensed residents camps in the state to believe and teach the fiction that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. Such transgender ideologies exploded under the promotions adopted by Joe Biden when he was in the White House. Joe Biden was truly a wicked man, a really wicked man. And,
yes.
Yes.
Known pedophile, and even according to his own daughters. Just a wicked man. But he's gone now, praise the good Lord.
Thank God.
All right, little Lisa, you got one there. Go for it.
Okay, this one's by Adam Peck of Daily Caller News. Two congressional demon rats seeking to win, quote, toss-up Senate contest in states won by President Donald Trump are co-sponsoring legislation that would eliminate female-only spaces and infringe on the right of girls and women to compete against only members of their own sex in sports. Demon Rat Georgia Senator John Ossoff and Demon Rat Michigan Representative Haley Stevens, who voted against legislation to bar males from women's sports earlier this year, are backing the Equality Act, a bill that would make, quote, gender identity a protected class under anti-discrimination law. The candidates' decision to support the far-reaching legislation comes as Republicans accuse the two lawmakers of catering to left-wing gender ideology that is at odds with their own. Well, that's the truth.
Well, you know, here, what she just said is short is there. They want to virtually eliminate female sports.
Yes.
By allowing males to participate in all female sports, pretty soon, you know, you would have all males. I mean, you know, because most of them, although, you know, like a lot of sports, when you play, you know, you play to win, right?
Yes.
But see, what Democrats say, you shouldn't play to win. You should play just to allow the other side to win if they want. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it?
No.
But we're talking about, this is why I call them Democrats.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have an article there, Brother Elder?
Yes. How legacy media for years worked to suppress the fact that Christians are being martyred. This is a very serious article here. Only weeks ago, Fox News reported that as the genocide by Muslims against Christians in Nigeria was continuing, there was concern the nation's Christians are being wiped out. The report said the Islamists are intent on creating a Muslim caliphate and have been killing Christians wantonly for years already. Nigeria's Christians are being wiped out, and we need to call it what it is, genocide, explained Jeff King of International Christian Concern. In one slaughter just weeks ago, a Muslim attack on Christians in the Plateau State's Bokas County left more than 60 Christians dead, and 383 homes belonging to Christians were torched. King said families were burned alive and kids were left homeless. It's gut-wrenching. The worst thing is that there's nothing truly special about this attack. This has gone on for 20 years and has only expanded. Then it was Christian News that confirmed that Muslim Fulani herdsmen still are killing Christians, with two deaths over the weekend and 10 other victims in recent weeks. Among the most recent victims of the Muslim extremists was Tony Adejo, village head of predominantly Christian, and Jerry John. Both were working on their farms and when they were ambushed and killed by armed herdsmen. Nigeria, in fact, remains among the most dangerous places on earth for Christians, according to Open Doors 2025 World Watch list of the countries where it is most difficult to be a Christian. Of the 4,476 Christians killed for their faith worldwide during the reporting period, 3,100 or 69% were in Nigeria, according to the WWL. Why is the outrage level no higher for the indiscriminate slaughter of men, women, and children who are Christian? International Christian Concern suggests part of the reason is that media outlets have suppressed the identities of the perpetrators and victims of the atrocities. You would think that it's hard to overlook the religious motivation of a massacre when the victims are all Christian and the massacre takes place on Christmas, Palm Sunday, or Easter, the organization reported. But many who work in the media have proven themselves almost uncannily adept at avoiding the religious motivation behind such violence. For example, the report said when more than 50 Nigerian Christians were murdered in one attack on Palm Sunday, April 13th, France's leading newspaper soon after ran an article mentioning that the attack took place on a Sunday, but neglected to mention that it was Palm Sunday. This factual detail would show a clear religious motivation. Is that why it was omitted? And then finally, then there was an attack on Christian Day 2024. Dozens of Nigerian Christians were slaughtered as a follow-up to Christmas 2023, when hundreds were killed and maimed. CNN ran an article on the subject but did not mention Christmas or the religion of the victims, the report said. It says, frustrated by the media's deceptions, one Nigerian priest charged, "It's not a clash, it is a slow genocide."
All righty. We're going to open the phone lines now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, if it's like a really hard question, you can ask Richard or Elder Barkley over here.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, that article,
Pastor, while we're waiting on them to call, can we quickly pray for Nigeria?
Yeah, you don't have to be quickly about it either. But before you do that, you should ask the folks coast to coast out there, remember, there's power in prayer.
That's right.
God hears your prayers. And listen, right, all of you folks out there, you're very fortunate that you're not in Nigeria.
That's right.
By God's grace, you know. And so go ahead and join in with us and you know, pray with us on this, because today it's them. Tomorrow it could be you.
That's right. Amen. Father God, we know that we are living in the last and evil days, and we know that your word declares that there will be persecution, there will be suffering, Lord God. But we just want to lift up our brothers and our sisters in Nigeria right now who are suffering, Lord God. They are holding up that bloodstained banner, Lord God. And even as we read in Hebrews about those heroes of faith that were before us, Lord God, and they refused to surrender, but they still held on to the promise, although they hadn't received it yet. And so, Father God, we are praying for the strength, Lord God, of our brothers and our sisters, that they would continue, Father God, to uphold the faith. But we are also asking for intercession, Father God. We know your word declares that men ought to always pray and not to faint, Lord God. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your spirit, saith the Lord. And so, Father, we are asking that you might send your ministering and your warring angels, Father God, to cover, protect, Lord God, to allow, Father God, those that are calling on your name, Lord God, cause them to hear your spirit, Lord God, and ways to escape, Lord God, and ways to, Father God, to live, to continue, Father God, to promote the gospel, Father God. We are also, Father God, we are praying against, Father God, these Islamic, the president and vice president, Father God, that are the heads right now, Father God, and they are trying to make this, as they said, an Islamic caliphate over there right now. And so, Father God, we know your word declares that the gates of hell would try to come against the church, come against the rock, but it would not prevail. And so, Father God, we pray, Father God, even on our government right now, we pray on those that might have the ear of President Trump, Lord God, that that Father, we might get involved, Lord God, with this situation so that Father God, Christians could live, Lord God, a peaceable life, Lord God. And Father, with that, I'm also reminded of South Africa right now, Father God, where those Dutch farmers there, Lord God, are being persecuted. And so, Father God, we just want to remember the persecuted right now. We ask for their protection, Lord God. We ask for their strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. If you have any questions or comments, Bible questions, comments about what's happening here, give us a call, 888-677-9673. Got a couple of quick announcements, and one of them is Marcel Stribic. Do you know who Marcel Stribic is?
I don't.
Do you know who he is, Richard?
No, I don't.
I'm not going to ask Lisa because she does. Go ahead, Lisa. Go on.
Yes, because we were at the Tea Party meeting. He's running for
Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And he's a Christian. He's a former military man. And he'd be a great Secretary of State. He's his number one thing is election fraud. He is.
Oh, boy.
He wants to really go after it.
Good.
Because we still have a lot of that here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And he knows about the rhinos, okay? And so here, so come on out. You're invited to join the Patriots for Across Ohio for a special kickoff announcement for Marcel Stribic, for Secretary of State. And he's going to be there with his special guest, is going to be Bob France. And that's next Wednesday. He's going to be there next Wednesday, May 21st. At 7 p.m., Ohio Freedom Fighters at 7291 Stone Road in Medina, Ohio. Enter off the back road. Okay, so there you go, folks. Again, that's going to be next Wednesday, the 21st at 7 p.m. And again, that's going to be the Ohio Freedom Fighters at 7291 Stone Road in Medina, Ohio. Now, one other thing very quickly, and that is, Tactical Civics, lawful, peaceful, and permanent, taking America back one county at a time. Do you think there are too many criminals? Yes, yes. And do you think that there's not enough public servants? No, there aren't. We just talked about how out of 2,900, only 49 showed up for work. Do you think that criminals need consequences and the service needs supervision? Absolutely. Do you think that somebody should do something about it? Yes. If the answer is yes, join us to learn more about the Lawful, Peaceful, and Permanent Solution Introduction to Tactical Civic Seminar. And that's going to be tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow night for these folks in Northeast Ohio, May 16th, and the following Friday, May 30th, or 2 weeks later, at 7 p.m. at the Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. And let's go and take, who do we have? We have, I don't know, who are they? We got callers calling in. I don't have any names up there yet. Okay. Oh, well, just, it could be just, it could be weirdos calling, right?
Phantom calls.
Sometimes they're calling that they don't like what they've heard. These might be Democrats calling us up.
Democrats, yeah.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you.
Well, we were talking about Africa, how, you know, that this has been going on for so long. It just breaks your heart. I remember, you know, Ethiopia was a Christian nation up till 1959.
Yeah.
And that was just from the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip converted.
Yep. Mm. The Hutsi, remember what happened with the Hutsis and the Tutsis? And, oh, well, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Philadelphia with Ray. Ray, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
All right. Thank you. Just had a quick question for you because I have a little confusion going on in my brain. When we pass away as Christians, do we, as Paul states, fall asleep in Christ, or do we go to heaven?
You're a triune person. You have a body, soul, and a spirit. Your body falls.
The body with the Lord.
Your body goes to be into the ground, back to
right.
But your spirit and your soul go to heaven, and so there is no such thing as soul sleep that you hear about. Okay.
Okay.
So
when Christ comes back for those in the grave, who is he coming back for then?
He's coming back for, when he comes back, here, the answer is to go to 1 Timothy, okay? We're going to go over to 1 Timothy here, chapter 4, and starting with verse 13, and I'll step you right through this, okay?
Thank you.
If I can get over there. Okay. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy, and I'm on the wrong page. Okay. Oh, let me go. No, I said first. I meant 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. What am I thinking?
All right.
I'll get there too, but before we get there, We're coming up to a break, so we'll be back right after this, and then I'll pick it up. Feels so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He has risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen. All righty, we're back. And here we have Ray in Philadelphia. And Ray, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, here we're talking about the rapture of the church.
Okay.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So now when he's talking about those that are asleep, he's talking about their bodies that are asleep. And then he goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So now he's talking about our bodies are there sleeping in the ground, if you will, but it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. If the saved people go right to be with the Lord to heaven. So our spirit and our soul are in heaven.
Okay.
And they're being protected there by God. For this cause, we would say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, this simply means that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us that are still alive at his return. Now, he doesn't come back all the way to the earth. He comes to the first heaven, which is the sky, where the birds fly.
Right.
Okay. Now, Christ comes with a cloud, and that cloud is always referred to as the saints. The cloud is always referred to as the saints.
Okay.
So our bodies, our souls and spirit return back to the first heaven with the Lord, and then our atoms are renewed, and our bodies are raised up, and they're glorified bodies. Go ahead.
Okay. So when we pass away as Christians, we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. Our spirit is in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, your spirit and soul, right.
Okay. So that is when judgment happens to us as we stand before the Lord.
Well, the judgment, no, that's not quite the Bema Seat judgment. The Bema Seat judgment comes, and that's your judgment for your rewards. But the judgment is you went to heaven and not hell. Okay.
Exactly, yes, okay. So again, I understand spirit, soul, body. Our bodies will go into the ground, but they will rise up again.
Absolutely.
Resurrected.
Okay. And what's the purpose of the rising body if our spirit is already in heaven?
Well,
it's got that new body.
Because God's going to give us a glorified body.
Right.
Because we'll look similar to what we have now, but it'll be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Much better. I'm
right.
Sure.
And so now there's going to be, you're going to need that body. Okay, because like the Lord Jesus said to them when he returned and he appeared in the upper room, and they were saying, oh, he's a spirit, he's a ghost. And he asked him for some food. They gave him some fish to eat, okay? So we're going to be eating in heaven. He tells us very clearly, you know, the foods that we're going to be eating in heaven.
Okay.
And so you're going to need a body to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
Not only that, we're going to need other things, too. You're going to have, you're going to find out that we come back. You know, if you read Revelation chapter 19,
mm-hmm.
and starting with verse 11, you see the Lord Jesus returning from the third heaven with four categories of saints. He's returning back to earth. This is the end of the tribulation period.
Right.
And so if you go to Zechariah chapter 14 and read verses 1 through 5, you see the Lord returning right back to where the very same place he stood when he left the Mount of Olives. And the four categories of saints are with him. And we've come back in these glorified bodies to fight against the armies of the world. We go into heavy-duty combat with the armies of the world.
Yes, I understand that.
You'll need bodies to do that.
All right, so no matter what, when we pass on, our spirit will go to heaven.
Absolutely.
And we will be in heaven with the Lord, with Jesus, and then everything else happens afterwards. So, okay.
Yeah. Now, that's if you're saved. There are those out there.
Saved, yes.
Yeah. There are those that are bringing back, it's becoming more popular, the all-inclusion, that everyone, universal salvation, everyone goes to heaven.
No, I don't believe that.
No, it's a good reason they don't. Okay.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray. All right. We have Clifford here. Okay. We're going to, you know what we'll do? We'll turn the tables and we'll ask Clifford questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What's the question?
What's the weather right now in New York?
It's been raining fairly extensively, not at the moment, but, you know, recently it's been, you know, pretty heavy duty, you know.
All righty.
So that's good in a way.
All righty. Well, that's true what you said. Now, what is the one thing you've done in your life that you're most ashamed of? I'll give you a pass this one time.
Well, you know, it's funny. Not that I'm ashamed. I remember I intentionally beamed someone the first time not that I'm ashamed of it, but it was like weird that I spontaneously thought this guy's hitting 500. He got two hits off me in a game. This is like when I'm like you know, in Little League, basically. And it was the first time I ever got, like, kind of hit hard pitching, and I just spontaneously hit the guy in the stomach. They stopped the game. They took the took his shirt off. And my grandfather, who happened to be watching the game, that was like only one or two games he came in to watch. And I said, gee, they didn't know I did that intentionally, but I knew I did it. And the irony was, I don't think I walked anyone the whole year, so, but they didn't know that it was intentional. So
nothing. Lisa's done worse stuff than that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, but it just shows you, like, the weird thing about that is I had in my head this guy's hitting 500, and in the meantime, like, a week later, I asked somebody to add up my batting average, and it was like 660, and I had no idea that, you know, I noticed I was getting two or three hits a game. And, you know, the irony was I was not aware of that. Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, in the meantime, I'm complaining. But it just shows you, like, that was my first time over in a two-year period that I had gotten shelled, basically, in a game. The players were good, though.
Well, you know what? We're glad to hear that, and I'm glad you told us about that. It's almost like we're bonding now. But
oh, so you might have been like that a little bit,
yeah,
too. But I just thought, gee, that was ironic, you know. And then once I found out I was hitting that average, I went into like a three-game slump. I had imposter syndrome, and that's where I started reading self-help books. And then I went back and I finished up still at that level, you know, and then I just righted the ship. But I said, I'm not that good, you know what I mean, to be hitting like this average. But
you missed your pros, didn't you?
Yeah.
All righty, very good. You know, I read a self-help book every single day, you know.
It's the Bible.
Yep.
The Bible.
It's the best there is. It doesn't get any better than that. So, do you have a very hard question for Richard?
Okay, I'll go into Mark chapter 1. I thought I saw a thread with the whole, chapter 8 rather. Starts off with the miracle of the loaves. And two things there. One was the separate baskets, and then the disciples forgot bread at a point where they were going across the lake, meaning maybe we should ask the Lord to remind us of what we need to be reminded of any given day. But then it talks about the Pharisees and their dealings with the leavened bread, which seems to be a counterfeit of the miracle, maybe. Then it talks about the blind man being healed in phases, which kind of could equate to the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. And then it says, talking about what is a profit to basically gain all the whole world and lose your soul, which I could relate to a little bit. Maybe the Pharisees were doing profiteering off wickedness. And that could have related right back to the whole chapter as a whole. I'm not sure, but I kind of see a thread there. I don't know what Richard thinks.
Well, Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Receive you not, neither understand, have your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? they said unto him, 12. And when the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? And so here, go ahead, Richard.
Well, he's talking about sin. He's equating leaven to sin.
Absolutely.
So he's saying the sin of the Pharisees. So he's bringing in the sins of the Pharisees and not to pollute ourselves with any kind of sins.
Well, he's making another point there, too, about faith in him and who he is, okay?
Yes.
Now, what were the Pharisees complaining about? They were complaining that Christ fed the 5,000, right? They were complaining about him doing miracles, right? Now, what did Jesus have to say? I think your answer to those questions, if you go to Matthew chapter 23, boy, does he answer those questions, okay? When he gets into the Pharisees, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you lawyers, he makes it clear. But then he goes into how their religion, you know, their heart is far from him. They profess him with their mouths, but their heart is far from him. And he's talking about how they, not only will they not enter into the kingdom, but through their teachings and their traditions that they've come up with, they'll keep others from entering into the kingdom of God. Okay.
And that's the difference between a head knowledge and heart knowledge. They're trying to do everything that's right according to their principles or their teachings, but their heart is far from them. So they're doing it everything right. That's like somebody saying, okay, I'm going to church, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but they have no heart for the Lord.
But that could it relate back to chapter 8, where number one, they're the polar opposite of what was done at the, you know, in terms of feeding the people that were, you know, just away from any market. Had they been there, they would have, like, basically tried to profiteer off it in some way. You know, would have maybe gotten them food somehow, but tried to make money off the situation.
Yeah, that's what they did. We're out of time. I got to move on. And so, Richard, you and Elder Barkley, it's time for you to tell the folks how to escape that burning lake of fire, how they can make it to heaven, because you're going to end up, like it or not, in one or two places, right? So go for it.
Okay. One of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life is turning towards Jesus Christ and having him as your Lord and Savior. And we talk about this a lot of times to people, but the thing is, we're going to live forever. That's what Pastor Sanders was just talking about with the soul and spirit. And our bodies are deteriorating, as you can tell, if you've been around for a while. But your soul and spirit are going to live forever. And the simple thing is, you're going to have to make a decision. And there's nobody that's... God does not send anyone to hell. People send themselves to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. One of the things that comes to mind is as we're, you know, conversating and discussing all of the really atrocities that are going on in the world is even in Jesus' day, there were those that brought to him the fact that there were these Galileans who Pilate had mixed or mingled their blood with the sacrifices. And then also there was another tragedy where upon whom the tower in Siloam had fell and slew 18 people. And the people of that day, they were looking and say, wow, how horrific this is. And the Lord looked at him and said, listen, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so we need to understand that the word repent, it deals with to think different to reconsider your ways, to think different or to reconsider your ways. And also Peter, he follows that up. Peter said in Acts, he said, then he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, as we were talking about earlier, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he said this, he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. That means this crooked or perverse or warped generation. Save yourself from this untoward generation. How do you do that? You do that by turning to Jesus Christ and by accepting him. So those of you, he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. The Lord Jesus is knocking at someone's heart tonight. And he's saying, listen, push aside everything else. What is important for you is that you would repent, turn from your sins, ask him to forgive you, and accept him into your heart. Because as the gentleman had just asked, he said, or had mentioned, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then to lose his soul? So there should be nothing more important than your soul right now. And you can right now secure eternity with Jesus Christ by accepting him. For the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so finally, Father God, you know those that are out here now that, Lord God, are even right now opening up their heart for you to come in. I pray that, Father God, those that are praying this prayer right now, saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I want to repent. I know that without your shed blood, Father God, that there is no remission of sins, Lord God. There is no taking away that sin out of my life. And if you would but come into my heart right now and save me, I shall be with you. If you have prayed that prayer, you can follow up with calling to What's Right, What's Left. We will make sure we'll guide you the rest of the way. But with that, blessed be the name of the Lord.
All right, absolutely. And again, like I said, folks, that's reality. That's the most important thing. There's nothing in your life that's going to matter as much to you as your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Well, we want to say good night out there.
Good night.
Thanks for being here with us. We want to say God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
And then we want to say always. Ready? Now, remember, we said it before Trump did. Keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.